The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 10 as we look through the book of Revelation. This study is called The Altar of Prayer. For this message, we will look at Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the Lord, before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. This portion of scripture starts with the opening of the last seal. This will be the end of the first campaign, the first military series of judgments that come upon the earth. But at this point, before the scroll is opened, there is silence in heaven. Each of these seven seals on the scroll were given in honor of something very powerful and something very dynamic. As you know, one of them was given in honor of the martyrs. And now this last seal is given in honor of your prayers, in honor of your grandmother's prayers, in honor of your children's prayers. All of a sudden, the throne room has a sober hush come over it. I don't know if there is ever a time before this in all of eternity when there was silence in heaven. It's a difficult thing for angels who were made to worship the Most High God to all of a sudden be quiet. Especially the seraphim, whom the Bible says night and day cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And now the Lord says, "We will have silence for half an hour." That's very difficult because they have this energy and this excitement and this anticipation for worship bubbling up, overflowing like a fountain, erupting from them. And the Lord says, "Contain it, close it, be quiet, no talking. No singing, no worshiping. All of heaven is quiet for half an hour." And there is a powerful reason for this. It is because the Lord is honoring the faithful who have lived on the earth. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to understand why there's so many struggles in life. Why people have sicknesses, why people are separated one from another, while there are accidents and failures, why there is wars, why people are abused and suffer all kinds of calamities. And we say, "God, how can these things be?" Even when persecution comes against the church and many cannot tell others about the love of Christ because of fear of retaliation. And some in some countries are imprisoned and tortured. And thousands, if not millions, over the centuries have been murdered for their faith in Christ. And they said, how can it be? And the church has been caught up in prayer as they've called out to God and said, Lord, will you save us? Will you stop the abortion in the nation? Will you stop the crime? Will you stop the evil? Will you protect the unborn child? Will you watch over the orphan? Will you help the widow? Lord, will you look over our children, our teenagers, our grandchildren? And we cry out to him through countless hours of prayer. And yet many times it seems that nothing might happen. From time to time, we see great breakthroughs, even powerful miracles. People are healed from cancers. Even some are raised from the dead. But it seems that for every prayer that gets answered, there are half a dozen prayers that have been prayed in earnest that didn't seem to go the way we would have liked them to go. And many Christians then can become disillusioned. The Lord does not take this lightly. Only from his perspective can we understand the trauma of the spiritual battles, of the work of demons, of the way things are set up in man's free will, of the curses and judgments that are on nations and countries and families, of all that must take place to turn a rebellious soul back to Christ. So many factors seem to come together that there does not seem to be a clear answer to many situations. And throughout the world, people are saying, why, Lord? Why has these things been allowed to happen? But all of these things do not fall to the ground. I am not saying that when any person will glibly speak some prayer that it will be answered. In fact, the Lord teaches us in the book of James that you don't have when you pray because you ask amiss in order to satisfy your own desires. So if you say, Lord, if you're really God, I want you to bring me a Rolls Royce to my driveway in the morning, I would suggest that you have missed the mark and prayed without wisdom from the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, every prayer that is heaven birthed inside of you, that is a prayer of agreement for someone's salvation, for someone's healing, for certain blessings to come upon people. And that is God's heart for all of those things. And when you come into agreement with those prayers that initiate from the heart of God, you must understand that every single one of those prayers will be answered. And God will bring forth his blessing and his healing and his resurrection and his joy and his kindness and his goodness in every one of those situations. And when the timing is not suitable for reasons beyond our knowledge, the Lord saves the prayers in heaven. He has a collection agency up there designed to collect prayers only. And there are two specific avenues for the saving of prayers. One is with the participation of the 24 elders as they hold on to these bowls of burning incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They are censers. You might have seen in a Catholic church or an Orthodox church where the priest will walk up and down the aisles with a chain and in his hand, and at the bottom of the chain is some kind of censer with some incense burning in there. And as he waves it, the smoke goes all around the room. And if you're not familiar with that or understanding of that, you might say, this is crazy. What are they doing that for? Well, they get it from the Bible. Whether or not they do it in an appropriate manner, who can say? But it's not without some thought and focus in the scriptures that they do these things. For here we find that the same thing is taking place in the throne room of heaven, and it also took place in the ancient tabernacles and temples of Israel. It's not just the elders who gather the prayers, but the Lord has a special altar of prayer in his throne room, just so many steps away from where he is seated. It is a box made of gold with flames of fire coming from it, leaping forth into the atmosphere of the throne room, filling the room with an aroma. It is the prayers of the saints that God will not allow to fall to the ground. He will not allow them to be forgotten. Some people are fasting and praying and seeking him. And the Lord takes clear notice of those prayers and has a special place for them before his throne. It says in Revelation 14, verse 18, still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar. There is a special angel called the angel of the altar. He's the angel of fire. He is given special responsibilities to watch over this amazing altar. As we will read later in the book, there is also an angel responsible for the water on the planet Earth. But in this case, this angel is the angel of the fire, and his responsibility is to be in charge of these prayers that are in and before him on the altar. So for half an hour, all of heaven must be quiet, because the seven seals are now broken and the end time blessings and purposes of God are about to be released on the earth. And God's going to wrap this thing up quite quickly. He's going to destroy the devil and all of his demons, and he's going to release his blessings on the church and on Israel. But before he does that, there's the memorial. You might have seen this when you were in school, where on a certain day in the year, the government will say, let's have 2 minutes of silence for our fallen soldiers or for somebody who has passed away who should be honored and revered. Well, here in heaven, there is a moment like that that lasts for 30 minutes to give honor to the prayers of those who did not have their prayers answered while they prayed them and many times did not know the reasons why those prayers were not answered. Prayer is such an important thing. This book of Revelation is a prayer manual. If you can get this in your spirit, you will start to pray for the things in this book to come to pass. And certainly, if you are on the planet or in the throne room, when these things are unfolding, you will be praying. You will hear the sounds of the harps, and you will hear the high call of God and the voice of the intercessor, and you will begin to sing a song that nobody else on the earth can learn, and you will come into agreement with God, because nothing will happen on the earth unless somebody joins together in prayer with God and prophesies his work and his will into existence. It's not that he couldn't do it without your prayers. It's that he chooses not to do it without your prayers. He wants your participation. He stands in the midst of his church with the seven angels in his hand. The book of Revelation must be a corporate effort. It must involve the hearts of human beings, the will and focus of angels, and the armies of heaven working together. So this focus on prayer is all important. I remember when I was just 14 years of age and I was newly saved and I was wanting to obey the Lord as best I could. And I was reading through the book of Matthew. I thought I would start reading at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and go through the New Testament. And I got very soon to Matthew chapter 6. And there I read, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door. And your Father who sees you praying in secret will reward you openly. So I had a closet in my bedroom. So I went in the closet, turned on the light, sat down on the dirty laundry in there, opened my Bible, and said, here I am, God. And the Holy Spirit of God came into the closet. And the power of the Lord came upon me. And I started to pray. I said, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? And the Lord started to show me how to pray for my friends at school. Within a month of being saved, I became the youth pastor in our church. And since there was only one other teenager that was saved, it was an easy risk for the elders to take. What could they lose? I went to them and said, the Lord told me to start a youth group, and I'm going to preach every Friday night. And they looked around and said, well, we only have one teenager in the church who's a Christian. After some time, they got back to me and they said, sure. And they kept every meeting on a Friday night. One of the elders sat up in the balcony just to see that I didn't go off the rails. But I went into that closet every week, if not every day, and I prayed in secret. Every single Friday night, somebody got saved in our meetings. And within a year, 40 teenagers from the high school had joined our youth group and got saved. And it went from 2 to 40 on fire teenagers. And I was just 14 years of age. And it wasn't because I was knowledgeable. And it wasn't because I was a great preacher. It was because I was in the secret place of prayer. And for those prayers, God was answering them immediately. Within the days following the prayer, God was answering them. As I've studied the scriptures on this subject of prayer over 40 years of ministry, I have found 7 types of prayer that the Bible talks about. And I will share them with you very quickly. There is a prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer number 1. That's how all prayer should start. We enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. The scripture tells us with everything, with every request, begin it with thanksgiving. In all things, give thanks unto him. Sometimes we just go to God when we have something we want. I know some teenagers who only talk to their parents when they want something. The rest of the time, they're out of the house doing their own thing. Until they want some money or to use the car, then they're very happy to talk with mom and dad. Some people only talk to God when they want something. But it's very impolite. And we should be starting our conversations with thanksgiving. Because when we enter into thanksgiving, the atmosphere can change. This is a little hint for Christians who need some advice because they have lots of depression. Start giving thanks to God for everything and watch the depression lift. If you wake up in the morning with the mully grubs, you've been all night in a dark spirit, as if a spiritual elephant has been sitting on you in your sleep, and you wake up in some kind of heavy cloud, start to give thanks to the Lord. At first, it will be difficult because you will not know what to thank Him for, especially if you just wake up and your brains are not in gear yet. But even if you thank Him for anything, if you just thank Him for the house that you're living in, for shelter, look out the window, thank Him for the blue sky and the trees and the birds. Thank Him for your partner if you're married, or for your children. And then start to thank Him for pastors and ministers and those in the body of Christ. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for the church. Thank Him for this nation. Thank Him for godly leaders. Thank Him for missionaries. Thank Him for the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for that Jesus died on the cross. The more you thank the Lord, the more you'll find the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come. The second type of prayer that you should focus on is called offertory prayer. It's when you get on the altar and you make sacrifice to the Lord. So every person who ever got saved said, "Lord, I give my life to You." Whatever you give to the Lord is going to get better. Whatever you keep to yourself will get worse. Some Christians started off by giving everything to God, but as time goes on, they crawl off the altar and they say, "I think I'll take that back. I want to do it my way," just like Frank Sinatra. And that's always trouble. And then they come into confusion. The reason people, Christians, are in confusion is because they have divided loyalties. One foot in one camp, one foot in the other. But when they come back to dedicating their life to the Lord, the prayers of offering unto God, then clarity comes and God speaks again. The third kind of prayer in the Bible is called petitions. The definition of a petition is a formal request to one who is in authority. You might have one day signed a petition for your political leader, for your state governor, asking for certain laws to be passed. And so you signed a petition. It is not a complaint. It is not a protest. It is a request, a formal request to one who is in authority. And petition prayers are what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a request. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Those are simple requests. Most prayers are petition prayers. So we have thanksgiving, offertory prayers, and petition prayers. The fourth kind of prayer is called supplication. Supplication is a desperate cry to God for a miracle in a time of great crisis. Jonah offered supplication to the Lord when he was in the belly of the great fish because he was in a desperate situation. Help! Hannah could not have a child, and she was in the temple. She was so emotional. The Bible says that her mouth was moving, but no sound was coming out. And Eli the priest thought she was drunk and said, "What are you doing coming to the house of God drunk?" And then she said, "I am not drunk, but I don't have a baby. And I'm calling out to God for a baby." She was supplicating. Eli the priest said, "This time next year you shall have a son." She named him Samuel. He was the prophet of the Old Testament. The Bible says concerning him that none of his words ever fell to the ground. And then, of course, Jesus supplicated in the Garden of Gethsemane with great tears and loud crying and blood coming out of his forehead. He said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If this can pass from me, if this cup can pass from me. But then he said, not my will. And he went to the cross, laid down his life. Supplication is when you wrestle like Jacob did with the angel. And you say, Lord, I will not let you go till you answer my prayer. The fifth kind of prayer is intercession. Intercessory prayer is partnership with God. It is when the Lord invites you to the table of negotiation over the affairs of humanity. That's what intercessory prayer is all about. And you come into a place where you start to walk with God. Many churches have people who they say, you're in charge of intercessory prayer. And they say, I'm the intercessor for this church. But that's not true unless God makes them the intercessor. You have to be God's friend. It's not an official title that you put on the door. It is a calling that God calls you to. He invites you to the table of intercession. And all of the great patriarchs and men and women of the scriptures were great intercessors. You go back to the days of the first family. It says, and from that day, from the days of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Abraham, his nephew Lot, was in Sodom, and the angels came down to him, and he started to intercede. And he said, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He started to bargain. What if there's 50 righteous people there? Will you save the city? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? He is really Jewish. He's trying to get the best deal. What if there's only 10? But after that, he knew to stop. Moses was the intercessor. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Don't lead us up from here unless you go with us. Lord, take my life, but save these people. Lord, if you don't bless these people, what will all the nations say? Daniel was an intercessor. He said, Lord, you have been righteous, but we have been unrighteous. Lord, you have been faithful, but we have been unfaithful. Lord, you have done well, but we have sinned. Now, Lord, forgive us of our sins and take the sworn curses and judgments off the land. The Lord looks for intercessors. Ezekiel reports the word of the Lord when he says, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and build up the wall before me so that I would not have to destroy the land. Intercessors are curse breakers. They're land savers. They're family restorers. God calls people to intercession. Then the last two types of prayer that I will give you. One is praise and proclamation. That is when you come into a place where you don't know whether you're praying or prophesying. You're just in the Spirit and you start to praise Him. And then you start to make declarations like the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell therein. And you start to pray the words into existence that the Lord would call you to speak. The word of the Lord gets inside of you. The creative word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And all things were made by him. That's the voice of God. Not the written word of God, but the spoken word of God. In the beginning, we could say, was the voice of God. What would happen if the voice of God gets inside of you and you start to make things come to pass that did not previously exist? That's the prayer of proclamation. And then lastly, there's praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit, which is that spiritual language where the Holy Spirit rises within you. You know the emotion, but you don't know the details of the word. But the Holy Spirit just starts to move through you, and you're pushing back the powers of darkness and releasing the blessings of God. And in the Spirit, you're communicating mysteries before the throne of heaven. So those are the seven types of prayer. And all of these prayers are gathered together before the throne of God. The Lord sees these so precious to him, and he holds them dear. And at the end of this half hour of prayer, where the focus has been on the people of God and their faithfulness and their sacrifice and their persistent agreement with heaven through prayer, the Bible tells us that something amazing happens. It says, then the angel of the fire, the angel of the altar, took another censer filled with prayer fire, and he took it from the altar, and he hurls it down on the earth, and there's peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake takes place. Now it is the time for the answer for these prayers, for all of God's blessings to come. And when he takes these prayers and throws them to the earth, he's throwing the answers. He's releasing the angels. He's changing everything. And it is so dynamic and so intense and so powerful that there's thunder and lightning and earthquake that come when the answers to people's prayers ricochet through the universe and vibrate down upon the planet until things have to change. The devil has to back up. The church has to move in power, and the glory of God has to come. That's what's about to take place when the seventh seal is broken off the scroll.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.